Well, I'm really excited to be here this morning. And this morning we're going to talk about core values. And I know that some of you are probably thinking, oh my word, core values. We're going to talk about core values. And I want you to know, last Monday as I was getting ready to prepare, I was thinking, oh no, core values. What do you want to say to us, Lord, through this core value of who we are at the very depths of our soul? You know, one of the things that I truly believe is I believe that this series that we're going through right now could be one of the most important series that we go through in the entire year. And the reason is because in this series, the Lord is giving us our marching orders for what He wants to do in the upcoming year. We're already through January, and now while we are into February already, and unless we're focused and intentional about what we do, we're not going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And I don't know about you, but I want to be different at the end of this year than I was in the beginning of this year, right? Now, what you remember is that God is looking for those hearts who are fully yielded to Him. And the Bible tells us that the world is yet to see what God can do through a man or a woman who is totally and fully yielded to Him. But I have to tell you, what I'm excited about is I've seen how the Holy Spirit has been stirring some of your hearts. He's been jabbing at you a little bit, making you a little uncomfortable, to the point where you're calling and saying, hey, listen, I need to get involved. Or, you know what, I've got a couple ideas of, I think of some things that maybe we could do that's really going to help draw people across the curve. On top of that, I've been watching how we've been treating each other and specifically our guests. And I've noticed that we're treating them in more of a Christ-like manner. Now, I want to remind you of what our vision statement here is. Our vision statement is to know Christ and to make Him known. What does that mean? It means that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbors ourselves. It's about this relationship, and it's about this relationship. The following week, then, we heard a call from God. We heard the voice of God. Because the voice of God has called every individual to come and be a part of the puzzle at Central Community Church. And the reason is because you've been gifted for that purpose. And God wants to do something brand new. And then we focused on our mission statement. And our mission statement is how we do these things. And remember those words, we passionately pursue all people for the kingdom of God. And we do that through biblical teaching, through vibrant worship, and did we not just have incredible worship? An authentic community. Now listen, the way we accomplish all of this is through our core values. Our core values are who we are at the very depth of our soul. Our core values are our deepest beliefs, is our motivation. It's what causes us to want to be what God has called us to be. I want to show you exactly what that means. There's a verse that I use sometimes in my premarital counseling in the book of Exodus. This is what it says. Now, if you will carefully listen and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, and you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. Now, I want you to understand what God is saying there. God has given to us a covenant. And the covenant is a protection over us. In fact, it's a covering. And this covenant that God has given to us says, if you obey my commandments, if you keep me at the forefront of everything you do, I will pour out blessing upon you. However, if you choose to live outside of my covenant in my permissive will, there are consequences. And so when I have a couple who comes to me and they're living together, this is what I show them. This is the covenant. And the covenant of God is about blessing, relationship, and presence. I'm going to say that again. Blessing, relationship, and presence. When we are living according to that covenant, we live our lives like this. I want you to understand that it still rains outside, but the covenant, the protection, the covering keeps it from raining on me. This is the way that God desires us to live. But when you're living together, this is how you are living. If you have children, this is what it looks like. You are not under the covering. You are living and rebelling against God, and you are living outside of that covenant. And now you put yourself at risk for consequences for your actions. And not only you, but your children. Don't you want to live under the covering of God's covenant? Because under this covering, we get blessing, we get his presence, and we get everything that we need for protection underneath this covenant. This is the way that God has designed us to live. And when we live this way, we bloom and grow. Do you understand that? Everything that could cause us to put our focus and our eyes on someplace else, as long as we live under this covenant, we bloom and we grow. And we become like Christ. As a church, this is how God wants us to live. Under his covenant, believing in him and who he is, understanding that his book is the book that we will be judged by, and it's the book that we need to live our lives by. It is not about what man says. It's not about whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. God is your king. And everything that we do revolves around the throne of God and nobody else. When we live like this, our core values, who we are, becomes evident. We begin to glow in the dark. Do you understand that? We glow in the dark because God's hand of protection and covering is over us. And as we build relationship with him, we become more like him. And everywhere we go, you know what happens? People say, there's something different about you. My prayer is that when people walk into this church, when they drive onto this campus, not just through the week, but not just on Sundays, but also through the week, that they would feel something different. And you know what the difference is? That this is a church and a people who live under the covenant of their God. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Search my heart, O God, and show me the truth that is within. For what is within will always come out. May what comes out always reflect my love and my relationship with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to remember that picture of that umbrella as to what God has called us to be. Now, what you're going to learn is that in today, we will find out what our core values are based on the acrostic central. And I want you to understand, we didn't just pull these out. These were things that a group of several hundred people got together and we prayed about these things. And we believe that this is what God and how God wants us to live and act. It's nothing new that we've come up with, but it's who God has identified us as who we are. And the first one is this. The expression of our core values are the expression of our hearts. I want you to understand something, okay? Our core values are the DNA of who we are. Our core values, if it's the DNA of who we are, it's the way we live life and it's the way we do things. And so because of that, it is an expression of our hearts. What you have in here will be seen out here. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter how sly you are, how you may think you are hiding, but what is in here is always lived out in the public. And so when we talk about our core values, our first core value is this. It's community, doing life together. Now, we've talked about some of these before. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want to just say a little bit about what it means about community again. Remember, you and I were created by a God who lives in community. Therefore, you and I are hardwired to live in community and be in community. And remember, the key to community is not that you know, but the key to community is that you and I are known. Here's our second core value. Our second core value is excellence. And I want you to notice in parentheses it says, great is not good enough. Look at this scripture verse here. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. I believe in excellence. I believe that excellence inspires God and it honors people. I believe that excellence fills the gap between average and exceptional. I believe that excellence is on a regular basis going above what is expected of us. We're exceeding what people are thinking that we should do, and we do it on a regular and a consistent basis. Now, the most important thing I want you to know about excellence is this. You know why we do things in excellence? Because excellence makes you stand out in the crowd. Do you understand that? When you do things with excellence, people stand back and they take notice. Why do we do things in excellence? Because God deserves our best. And I'm giving you permission to hold us accountable that in everything we do with excellence. Now, here's how we do it. Here's the first one. Consistency. It has to become a habit. And there's a very important lesson that I've learned in consistency because, tell me if I'm wrong, if you're not consistent and you become hit and miss, people don't trust or respect hit and miss people, right? I mean, if I'm a good husband half of the time and the other half I'm not, guess what? That's not going to do very good at our house. Lori wants to see consistency. Here's the next thing. Improvement. It results from people striving to be better. One of the things I love about our staff is that, you know what they do on Monday mornings? We get together and we talk about what happened on Sunday. And we talked about how can we do this better? Why? Because we want you as a church to be proud of your church. We want you to know that the leadership at Central Community is trying to be the very best that they can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want you to say, hey, I'm going to bring a guest. They're just going to wing it today. Who knows what's going to happen? No. We want to become our best. And that means we have honest and tough conversations. Here's the next part. Creativity, it breaks new ground. We've got several new workers. In fact, we have three or four brand new ladies who are working at church. You know what I love about them? They're young, they're energetic, and they bring fresh new ideas. Okay? Kind of like that announcement video. And here's the last one. We go the extra mile. We go beyond average. You see, when you go the extra mile, people not only take notice, but did you know that they're surprised by it? Think about that. If you walk in and you're a guest this morning, and you're not exactly sure where you're supposed to go, and somebody comes up and takes you by the arm and says, hey, I'd love to show you where our sanctuary is, and not only would I love to show you where the sanctuary is, but I would love it if you would come and sit with me. Here's a worship folder. I'll kind of tell you how we go through things. I want you to be and feel comfortable. That's what we mean about going the extra mile, okay? All right, here's the next one. Our next one is nurturing, cultivating Christ in each other. When we cultivate, when we nurture one another, what we're talking about is we're bringing about growth. We're bringing about training. In other words, we're trying to prepare and have a place where everything that comes into it is naturally going to grow. This is about health. Now look what the scripture says about this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So what we're learning here is that we're talking about our faith. And faith is something that we need to put into action. You can't give what you don't have. So this is what it looks like. We want to encourage one another. Look at the scripture verse here. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. My prayer is that each and every Sunday as we come in, we are communicating with one another. And not just with an eye and a nod of the head, but we are talking with one another because encouragement creates relationships. Yesterday, I happened to be at the health club with a lot of people who were doing the Fit Central. And while I were there, I noticed this one guy who I know is not a believer. In fact, he's made it very clear that he does not know or does not think very highly of Jesus. I overheard a conversation between him and another at a weight machine, and they were just not very nice in talking about him. And I just bit my lip and was quiet. Well, I saw him yesterday. And as he was walking by himself, I went over to him and I said, hey, listen, I said, I just need to tell you, I've been watching you for the last couple months. You have really gotten stronger. And I noticed it in what you were doing this morning and the number of pounds that you were using. You know what happened? Whew. Hey, man, thank you. Did you know that one time I weighed over 300 pounds? And I have worked so hard, and now I'm under 200 pounds, but I'm trying to gain strength back. You know, I was just saying to myself this morning as I was looking in the mirror, I don't look any bigger and I don't look any stronger. Thank you so much for just believing in me. And I said, keep doing what you're doing. You know what happened? That wall that was built up came tumbling down. And I can't wait till I tell him what I do. Now, I want to share with you one other thing. Last week, we had 32 guests come to our church. Now, here's what I want you to understand about that. If you multiply, that means in this next year, if we had 32 guests every Sunday, that means we would have over 1,600 people brand new come to our church. The fastest growing churches in America right now are growing at a rate of 25%. But let me also tell you that 87% of all churches are dying or just maintaining. 87%. So if we were just able to get 25% of those 1,600 that God is sending here, we would be able to almost reach our goal. You see, it's not that hard if we just take the focus off ourselves and start putting it on God and start saying, okay, Lord, where are they? Who is that individual? Who's that man? Who's this woman? Before I leave, I'm going to touch, and I'm just going to say, I'm glad you're here. Here's the next one. Church involvement. Remember, if you're a part of Central Community Church, you're not a part of Central Community Church because you go here. You become a part of Central Community Church when you belong here, when you've got skin in the game. I want to encourage you, get in a life group. And I know you say, oh, here we go again. I'm going to keep saying it till I have no breath in my body. Because in life groups is where you truly become Christ-like. It's where you learn. It's where you demonstrate this relationship. Our next life group is 40 days of prayer. Our goal is we want to get over 1,000 people, and we're going to do this all the way from the babies all the way up through the adults. I'm telling you, if you want to turn your life around, get involved in this, because prayer is what turns your life upside down. I also want to invite you, husbands, this next week, you get a freebie. Okay? We're having a marriage conference. And my wife tells me I'm going to be really happy that I came. But you know what? This is an opportunity, a very simple way that you can say to your spouse, and I don't care how old you are, you can say to your spouse, I value the most important institution that God has placed in our lives. I understand that our family depends on you and I being on the same page. And because of that, as a leader, you don't have to tell me to go, I'm taking you. Wouldn't that be great, ladies? Oh. All right. Here's the next one, discipleship, okay? Now, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching, okay? This is where we foster growth. This is where we get involved, whether it's a church service, whether it's a Sunday school, whether it's a life group. We are discipling individuals, and why? Well, because God tells us to, and remember, a disciple is just simply one who looks like the one that they're following, okay? All right. Here's the next one. The next one is truth. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, but I just want to remind you is that truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truth is found in the teaching and the preaching of God's word. It's not man's word that matters. It is God's word that matters. You don't need to hear from any man. You do need to hear from God. And when God works through his vessels, isn't it awesome how we get to partner with him in what he's doing to save a lost world? And remember that when you are walking in the center of God's word, it's what keeps everything together. And in fact, if you remember how Paul described it? He described truth as a belt. You put the belt on because the belt holds it all together. Here's the next one. The next core value is reconciliation. Reconciliation is a hard one. But when God brought Lori and I here, the word he gave me was reconciliation. Reconciliation is restoring relationships through Christ. I'm going to say that again. Restoring relationships through Christ. Reconciliation assumes that there's a breakdown in relationships. You and I are human. We make mistakes. Relationships get messy. But I want to remind you of the importance of relationships to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us so much. He knew that our relationship was broken between God and us. And God sent Jesus to the cross to reconcile that relationship and make it right. You want to see how God thinks about reconciliation? Look at this Bible verse. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. But I want to remind you, is reconciling is just not people to God, it's also people to people, right? I'm right now involved in a reconciliation with a relationship. I've been involved in reconciling with relations, some of you with you, that it was nothing between me and you, but it was more about maybe from the office or representing the church. And you know, Lori and I came to your house and we asked for forgiveness because we wanted our relationship to be right. Life is too short. It's too short. Ask Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight, the famous coach of the Indiana Club, and you know what? The Hoosiers, he had never been back to that place since he was fired. 20 years. And I want to tell you, it was not a pretty relationship. And finally, he said, enough is enough. At the age 79, he walked into that arena yesterday, and you know what the crowd did? They hollered, Bobby, Bobby, thank you, coach, thank you, coach. Now listen to me. When it was all said and done, and they were interviewing him and his wife, his son, and they asked his son, Pat, what was the biggest deal about this for Bobby? You know what he said? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Now listen to me. In your relationships with one another, if you have grievances with one another, God says, go and make it right. It doesn't mean that you have to be hanging around each other all the time, but you have to come to a place of harmony. That you can be in the same room together and you don't always have to think back about what it was that hurt. Look at what Jesus says about this. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Here's why it's so important to God. Reconciliation is about this relationship. It's about this relationship. It's about the love that we have for our Heavenly Father. This relationship, the love that we have for God, is now seen in these relationships, in how we treat one another. And so if you're having problems with one another, guess where the problem is? The problem is here. Because here's what I know about my God, that when I come to him with my complaints and my grumblings, he lets me just unload on him, and then he reminds me of who I am and where I came from and what he did for me. And it empties my heart of any kind of anger or bitterness. Because if God did that for me, I need to be doing that for others. Amen? If we could become a church that reconciles relationships, oh, watch and see what God could do. Our next one is authenticity, being real in our brokenness. One of the things that I've learned about authenticity and what God is calling us to do is that it's being real. In other words, that we understand that it's not just about what we know, it's about allowing ourselves to be known. And here's one of the things that I know about you and what you know about me. It is every one of our desires, every one of our desires, that we would not just know Christ, but we would be loved by one another and be known by one another. Because here's the greatest thing about being a believer, is that as part of the body of Christ, you can know all my faults and still love me. Now that's love. My wife knows all of the things in my life that, you know what, that just drive her nuts and drive other people nuts. But you know what? I remember a time when I tried to hide all those things. I tried to make an appearance to her that I was something that I was not. And you know what? All the time, she already knew it. But when I allowed myself to become authentic, then I understood and felt what it was like to be loved in spite of all of the problems that I have in my life. That's a good thing, isn't it? Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And so the Bible is telling us that both publicly and privately, we need to throw off that old self and we need to bring on that renewed self that God is doing in our lives. And as we do that, we allow other people to know us, and that's when authentic community begins to happen. Now, here's what I mean by that. When you know me and you know my faults and you know my hurts, guess what? I now am more open to what you're going through. You see, that's what I need to happen in all of our lives. I need you to be transparent with one another. I'm not saying you empty all your dirty garbage on everybody, but I'm saying this. Admit that you've got faults. Admit some things that you're struggling with, because here's what happens. Then when we come together in prayer, and like Pastor Aaron did this morning, and we start talking about whatever posture you're in, because you know you need God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get up out of your seat, and you're going to start moving through the halls. You're going to start roaming through the aisles. You're going to start going to people and laying their hand on them, because you know what they're going through, because you've been through it, right? That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. But if I keep everything to myself, and I don't let you know who I am, how are you going to know? I've lost a loved one before. I know you have too. And so I'm sensitive to people who have lost loved ones. And it just makes a difference when you go over to them and you put your hand on them, or you put your arm around them, or you just speak a word of encouragement. I know what you're going through, but one day we will see them again. That's the church of God. Here's the last one. The last one is leadership. John Maxwell talks about that leadership is about influence. Look at this quote here. Here is the truth about influence. The level of influence you have on others is directly proportionate to the level of trust they have in you. Here's what I want to close with. People judge each other in the first 6 seconds. Did you know that? That's what the theories, or the psychologist tells us, that people make their first judgments about you in the first 6 seconds. We all influence, and we all are influenced. Think about this. You're influenced by the music you listen to. You're influenced by the clothes that you wear. We are all influenced, but we also have the power to influence others. Now, remember, people have asked, so why is it so important that we grow this church? Well, first of all, because it's natural. And the second thing is because growth brings about influence. Let me show you what I mean. In London, they had these sidewalk sales. And all of the different businesses would put their whatever they were advertising out on the sidewalks. And you know what started happening? A bunch of kids and young adults started stealing. They grab a couple apples, they grab some fruit, they may grab some pens and pencils, they may grab some little things, and all of a sudden, all these stores were reporting these huge losses. They tried to figure out, how do we stop this from happening? So they brought more police, and you know what? It got worse. So you know what they did? A 17-year-old boy came up with an idea, and here's what his idea was. Let's put up on the billboards all over London that Londoners don't steal. You know what happened in the first year? The crime was cut 48%. Why? Because of the influence that somebody said, if you're a Londoner, and they were proud of who they were, we don't steal. That's the power of influence. Now, we don't want to have influence by compliance. We want to have influence by relationship. And that takes time, because as we build trust with one another, we have influence. But I want to show you how important it is that you and I build influence and trust with one another and the rest of the world. I'm a part of a group that used to be called the Pregnancy Crisis Center, and now they call themselves Embrace. And what happens is that every time there is a young lady who goes to get an abortion, and they intercede, you know what happens? Then they send out an all-call prayer, and we get to praying. I want to share with you something that happened last week, and because of influence, the result. Look at this. We had a very abortion-minded client come in for her sonogram yesterday. when she arrived yesterday along with the father of the baby. She wanted nothing to do with adoption and was pretty set on having an abortion. 30 minutes later, they watched their unborn baby's first dance performance on the TV, on the Sonic screen. As tears streamed down faces, the young mom says, "Okay, I'm good now." Translation, we are choosing life. That's the power of influence. And I believe that that is what God is calling us to be in this community and in this world. But it begins by building relationships.